Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on our social media platforms at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. We continue our exposition of select Psalms. Today we come to what is maybe everybody's favorite Psalm, Psalm 23. When you come to a Psalm like this, it's hard to do it justice. But before we go there, I want to make our listening audience aware of not only the books that I have authored, but some articles that I have written that you might be interested in, and tell you how to access them. In my broadcast, some of you have noticed that you hear very little about financial support, and that's deliberate. We really trust God here on that score and firmly believe that God pays for what He orders. The same policy is true in my local church ministry. Other than the teaching we offer on these broadcasts, over the years I have done a good deal of writing, as time allows, to prepare resources that I think should be helpful to my congregation and also helpful to you, our listeners. But on this program, I don't say a lot about those resources, much as I don't say a lot about finances, and I guess that omission in terms of resources kind of defeats the purpose. If you will go to jimandrewsbooks.com, that's one word, jimandrewsbooks.com, you will find there information describing the books I have authored, one of them co-authored with my daughter, The Finality of Jesus Christ. It's a very important book, and if anybody will let the Scriptures answer their questions about whether there are many ways to God, this will be decisive. Another very important book I've written is Polishing God's Monuments, Pillars of Hope for Punishing Times. I've written a book on marriage. Should help a lot of people if both are serious about walking with God in their marriage. Marriage Without Remorse, Rules for the Road. And finally, one about the pastoral ministry would be good for elders and leaders, too. Dispatches from the Front Lines, Reflections on the Glory and Grind of Pastoral Ministry. On top of that, on the same website, you'll see a tab that says Articles. If you will open that with your cursor, you will discover there are some articles that I've produced over the years that you may find interesting and helpful. For example, one of the most recent articles was my take on the demise of the culture wars and where I think we ought to go from here. Another article that appeared several years ago in a journal for biblical manhood and womanhood is entitled Boundaries Without Bonds. Another is a rebuttal of a tract that appeared several years back. The author attempted cleverly, but as I will show unsuccessfully, to persuade us that the Scriptures do not condemn homosexual practice after all. That has all been a misunderstanding. Well, there will be others, but I mentioned those three. I'm not a regular blogger, but when sometimes things pop up on my radar that I feel I would like to address in a thoughtful way, I will sometimes produce a longer article like some of these. So I'm just happy to share them with you for whatever benefit they may have. Now, turn with me to Psalm 23. Many of my listeners will already have it memorized. You don't even need for me to read it, but I will read it just the same for the benefit of those who may need a reminding. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me, His sheep, beside quiet waters. The Lord restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I raise the question, what shall we do when life seizes us by the throat? Sometimes it seems that way. And these Psalms, so many of them, are an echo of that reality of life. We live in a dark world. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world where human beings are victims and the victims become victimizers in a never-ending cycle. Nature is a little bit out of joint because we're living under the curse for all of its wondrous beauties and all of that, and for all of its provisions. They're really God's provisions. Life can get rough. And for many of you to whom I'm speaking, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, I would remind all of us who find ourselves in that predicament, just think about who is on your side. Who? The Lord, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking in a pastoral metaphor, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, sheep are rather helpless. You don't need me to tell you that. I just remind you of that. And we are relatively helpless because we cannot really handle the issues of life. Every once in a while, things just pile up and they gang up on us and they overwhelm us. But in those circumstances, it's always good to remind ourselves that we have a shepherd. And that shepherd is the Lord. And those of us who trust in Christ, those of us who placed our faith in Him, we are His sheep. His sheep, and with divine ownership goes divine oversight. One cannot have the Lord as his or her shepherd who refuses to belong to his flock. To any who may be listening to me who are non-believers, and I realize that would be only a tiny minority of anybody who might be tuned into this broadcast. Nevertheless, I've learned from 10 years of experience that you are out there, you, a non-believer, listening for whatever reason. We're just glad to have you tuned in, but I must say to you in all seriousness, you can talk about the Lord, you can talk about God until the cows come home, but you cannot have the Lord as your shepherd, my friend, if you refuse to belong to His flock. And the only way you can belong to His flock is by placing your trust in Him. I just remind you that you have no works, you have no merit. I do not have any works, I do not have any merit that makes me acceptable to God. You were born into this world as I was born into this world, lost, and you need a Savior. And Jesus Christ came into the world to be that Savior. He came into the world, the Son of God, to be your shepherd. You cannot have the Lord as your shepherd and refuse to belong to His flock. So don't for a minute kid yourselves about that. I don't say that to put you down. I say that in love and concern. Because many people are duped. They live in a world where street theology is prevalent. Biblical theology is missing. This is biblical theology. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, as many as received Him, Christ, to them God gave the right, to no others, but to them God gave the right to be children of God, even to those who believe in His name. The Scripture says, neither is there any other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved than this, Jesus Christ. So I don't want to go any further into this psalm with your mind reading street theology back into it. That'll only get you condemned. That will only lead you to death everlasting. So often when people pass away, you listen to a memorial service, and it's just a mantra. Well, I know Joe's up there looking down on us, smiling at all this, having a big laugh about this. And God has met him, and God has said, Joe, you were a great golfer. Wish we had you up here. Now we do. Such stupid nonsense as that. Joe's in a better place. No, Joe's not in a better place. Without the knowledge of God, and there's no knowledge of God without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Joe is in, I tell you, a better place. Not a better place, a better place. Joe is not up there smiling. Joe is in anguish. Because he lived his life, he chose to ignore God. He chose to trample in the blood of his Son. I'm being very strong here, but I'm being strong for your sake if you're not a believer. The Lord has appeared to us in the face of Jesus Christ. You cannot have the Lord, my friend, as your shepherd if you refuse to belong to his flock. Jesus Christ, is our good shepherd. God sent his Son into the world, and God sent his Son to say, "This is me. He is my clone. You want to know what I am like? Look into the face of the Christ, the Messiah, whom I sent." Jesus said in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." That's what Jesus Christ did for you. In John 10:14-15, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." That's exactly what Jesus did for us. And he said in John 10:27, to those who were his adversaries, "You do not believe in me. The reason you don't is because you're not of my sheep. My sheep, they hear my voice." Jesus says his sheep, his flock, they recognize his voice. And he says, "And I know them, and they follow me." My friend, you cannot have the Lord as your shepherd if you refuse to belong to his flock. The earmarks of his sheep are these. 1, they believe in him. 2, they recognize his voice when they hear it. They recognize his voice, for example, in me, a teacher. If I am teaching the truth, and if I am of the Lord, then those who are of the Lord will recognize his voice in me or any other faithful under-shepherd. And they follow Jesus. They don't just talk Jesus, they walk Jesus. Since the one who owns us is the Lord, and since the Lord Christ, the Lord Jesus, is unlimited in power, since he is unlimited in knowledge, since he is unlimited in wisdom, immeasurably gracious, immeasurably merciful, and immeasurably loving, at the end of the day, we can say in the words of this Psalm, Psalm 23, "I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything that my shepherd knows his sheep needs." My friends, God does not promise to gratify all of our desires, because all of our desires are not good. They're not all healthy. They're not all godly. No, God does not promise to gratify all of our desires. He does promise to meet all of our needs as defined by his redemptive purpose and our spiritual good. Let me say that over again. He does promise to meet all of our needs as defined by his redemptive or saving purpose and our spiritual good. Think about all the ways that our shepherd sustains us. The psalm says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures," speaking in a metaphor related to sheep. Green pastures for sheep meant a rich supply of whatever supports life. In our case, a rich supply of whatever supports our spiritual life. That's where our shepherd leads us. The phrase, "He makes us lie down," is the opposite of an agitated and confused state, but lie down in peace and security. When we walk after our shepherd, when we walk in his paths, when we follow him, he makes us lie down in green pastures, and he makes us lie down in peace and security. Reminds us of Isaiah 26:3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee." Think about all the ways our shepherd sustains us. The psalm says, 23, "He leads me beside quiet waters." I've never been a shepherd, but we are told by those who are that sheep dislike agitated water. You don't take them to a waterfall where water is cascading off a cliff from 100 feet. No, they like quiet waters. He directs us then to life-sustaining resources. "He restores my soul," the psalmist says. Our good shepherd is our great physician. We are all born into this world sick and broken, sin-sick. We come into this world like shattered crystal. We are Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall. We are required to be put back together again. We are under a curse. Physically, we may be healed by physicians. Mentally, some of our problems may be eased by prescriptions. But the bottom line is, our spirit is messed up, and only our great physician can heal us from the inside. Our good shepherd is our great physician. He restores my soul, and he's the only one who can restore it. My soul needs restored. Your soul needs restored. If you're not a believer, the first thing you need is regeneration. You need a new birth. And that new birth can only come about from the Spirit of God, who transforms you from the inside out and implants the eternal life of God within your being. Our Good Shepherd knows just how and when to refresh and replenish a weary soul and a broken spirit. The psalmist says, He guides me into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's one of the ways that our Shepherd sustains us. You know, whatever happens, the psalmist is telling us, the Lord will neither mislead us, nor will He misguide us. Others will mislead us. They do all the time. Buy a book. The author may mislead you. Buy a magazine. The writers may mislead you. Go to a friend for advice. You may get misled. You may get deceived. You may get conned. Turn on the TV or go to the internet. All kinds of advice there. Once in a while, there's some good advice. But a lot of the time, it's unreliable advice, and sometimes it's very deceitful. Where does one go in a world of information ever growing and expanding, and yet not much wisdom? Where do we go to find light where we will not be misled or misguided? We go to the Lord, and the Lord, through His Spirit, directs us through His Word. But sometimes there are things that His Word doesn't speak to explicitly, and we need very explicit guidance, and we go to the Lord and we ask Him. Sometimes we're dealing with a situation. It may be just a matter of human relations with a family member. It may be with a friend, or it may be something at work. And it's kind of a sticky thing, and we don't know how to manage it. It's dicey. What a comfort it is to know that the Lord says, If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of me, that is, ask in faith, coming to the Lord. The Lord will liberally supply, and He'll not be angry with you for being so ignorant and for being so weak that you don't know these answers. The Lord will supply. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Sometimes we have situations like financial matters. You say, I'm no financial expert, and these things are complicated. And you get all of the sound advice that you can reap from this source and that, but still at the end of the day, some say this, some say that. You don't know what to do. You may be buying a house, or you may be changing jobs, all those kinds of things. But when you belong to the Lord's flock, what a resource, spell that with a capital R, it is to be able to go to the Lord. The Lord who restores our soul, the Lord who leads us beside still waters, and know that He is willing and available to guide us into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He will not mislead us. He will not misguide us. You and I may stray off course. That's our nature. We are sinners by nature, but His direction is always on the mark. The Scripture says, Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you, says the Lord. And He does all this for His name's sake. His direction is certainly reliable because it's always for our good. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. That very statement is there. The Lord gives us His commands not just for His glory, but it's for our good, for the good of the sheep. So His direction is doubly reliable because it is for God's glory. You see, we bear His name. We are called by His name. We are called the people of God. We are called Christians, Christ ones. His name is upon us. He does not want our name to bring Him shame. So the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness. So many people will mislead us into paths of foolishness and unrighteousness. Or we can do that very capably ourselves, just left to ourselves. But we've got His Word and we've got His Spirit within us. We've got prayer, whereby we as His sheep can come to Him, come to our Shepherd, and we can ask for His guidance, and He will lead us in paths of righteousness and wisdom, and He'll do it for His name's sake. Just think about the comfort of His presence. Right here in Psalm 23, He says, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, verse 4, I'll fear no evil. I'll not be anxious. Evil is all around us. Bad things always nipping at our heels. But I will fear no evil. Here's why I won't. Because You are with me, Your rod and your staff comfort me. God's rod is for our correction, and his staff helps pull us out of bad situations. I'm comforted by the fact that the rod and the staff, your rod of correction and your staff of protection, it's there for me. That gives me great comfort. Gives me great comfort, folks. I hope it gives you the same comfort. Just think about the comfort of his presence. Valleys are part of the tapestry of life. Valleys where it may not mean death, but sometimes it's the very shadow of death. We feel it stalking us. It's death-like, but the presence of the shepherd calms the soul. God may lead us where evil surrounds us. He does. You've been there. I've been there. But he'll never let evil overcome us. I like to say the world may hurt us, but it will never harm us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. What a comfort. Don't run around always fearing the devil. Respect the devil. Don't revere the devil. But respect that he is superior to you, and don't presume and take yourself for granted. But always know that greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in the world. And never forget this, Philippians 1:6, that God who began a good work in you, he will, not maybe, he will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And John 10:28, Jesus says, I give eternal life to my sheep. They will never perish. And I'll tell you this, no one will snatch them out of my hand. That includes yourself. He saved you. He will keep you. Everyone the Father has given to me will come to me, John chapter 6. They will come to me, and it is my Father's purpose that of those he has given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise them up till the last day. Amen. He will not let evil overcome us. As I said, the shepherd's rod is for correction, and the shepherd's staff is a defense against wild predators. You see, the Lord protects us from the enemy without, and he protects us against the flesh within. If he didn't do that, we wouldn't make it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6 says, my son, do not lightly regard the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, he trains, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Think about how God honors us. The psalmist says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Here the imagery shifts. The Lord is depicted as a royal host honoring his esteemed guest. The metaphor depicts the simple gladness of God's people who smile in the face of present conflict because they know our sovereign Lord is our host in the midst of hostilities, and that tomorrow will bring God's provision. And whatever it brings, it will never take away his loving care, whatever it takes away. Think about how he honors us. You have anointed my head with oil. In the ancient Near East, a host would anoint a distinguished guest with fragrant oil as a sign of honor and esteem. So what if the world hates us? God holds us in high honor, and that's what matters. My cup overflows. The bounty of the Lord is unstinting. The cup of the non-believer has a hole in it, but the cup of the believer is always full, even when the cupboard is empty. Think about how he honors us, folks. When life takes us by the throat, people usually excel at subtraction rather than addition, but the faithful learn to count their blessings rather than their burdens. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just because we do not recognize their presence does not mean that God's attendants are absent. Often they are there in disguise, only to reveal themselves later. Well, thank you, dear friends, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.